All of the newest episodes of Note to Self are now available on the Luminary podcast app. It's free to download, and you can also listen to other podcasts from WNYC studios like Radiolab, Two Dope Queens, Snap Judgment, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, and others. Luminary Premium is the only place where you can enjoy the entire new season of Note to Self, plus new original podcasts you won't find anywhere else, from Trevor Noah, Roxane Gay, Guy Raz, Lena Dunham, and many more. And you can enjoy them ad-free. Start your free trial by going to luminary.link/note to self or download the Luminary app for free.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
This is New Tech City, WNYC's weekly look at how technology is changing the way New Yorkers live. I'm Anoush Samarodi. You may have heard about the death of Aaron Swartz last month. The 26-year-old programmer was being prosecuted for downloading millions of subscription-only academic papers and could have faced up to $1 million in fines and decades in prison. On January 11th, he committed suicide in Brooklyn. He has become a symbol of the tech community's push for a free and open web. Today, we hear from another smart young guy who, like Swartz, was prosecuted under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. Andrew Auernheimer calls himself an internet troll, a hacker who likes to cause chaos online. But that's not what he's facing up to 10 years in jail for. I asked him to describe exactly what he did that got him into so much trouble.
In June of 2010, there was a public AT&T web server, and it was publishing customer records for iPad 3G users, namely just the email address for iPad 3G users. And AT&T admitted at the trial they published this data. There's no dispute that this was publicly accessible. So I think that it was egregiously negligent for AT&T to be publishing information that should remain private. I took a sample of this data to a journalist because I feel if a big company puts you at risk, you deserve to know about it. And more importantly, I get a very visceral pleasure from embarrassing a Fortune 500 company.
And how did you go about finding this, though?
We very carefully examined the iPad.
This was when the iPad had just come out, right?
Yes, this was just a couple months afterwards. We had previously looked very closely for browser flaws in Apple's products. So this is sort of what me and my team did, is we picked apart software and we figured out how it worked and what was wrong with it. And then we would come forward with the details.
It's embarrassing for a company, right? For AT&T.
Yes.
But why did they feel that they needed to press criminal charges?
Well, AT&T didn't approach the FBI. It was the other way around. The FBI comes to AT&T and they send them an email that says, we're interested in pursuing this. One of the replies to that thread is, there was no security breached. I don't think there's a case here. The AT&T's lead investigator thought that there wasn't a crime committed. So I think it's a sign of this wave of over-aggressive federal prosecutions that really target people who come out and expose corporate criminals or just embarrass important people. You're not allowed to criticize important people in this country anymore.
Okay, so do you think it made a difference in terms of AT&T? I mean, I have AT&T on my phone, and I was dismayed to hear what you discovered.
I don't think it made a difference. I think that as long as they believe that the federal government will persecute people that embarrass them, that they have no incentive.
Wouldn't there be a more constructive way of putting your talents to work?
I don't think so. I think that I'm occupying the space that is most effective for consumers, that is most artistic for my type of outlet. I don't think that I could do a more effective piece of work. I think that this is the right way to go about it. It's definitely in line with the will of the framers. I think that if Andrew Jackson were alive today and he could code, he would be a lot more mean than I would be.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I was just rereading that pretty infamous New York Times Magazine article in which you were profiled. And you were quoted as saying, I hack, I ruin lives, I make piles of money. Do you still live by that or have your goals changed?
I think that the people in power deserve to have their lives ruined. They are thieves. They are seditious thugs. They are liars and they are criminals. And one day there will be courts with integrity to bring them to justice.
Sounds like they're going to have the last laugh. You are due to be sentenced on the 25th of February and are likely to face 10 years in prison. Why not take a plea?
I won't take a plea because I will not bow to seditious thugs that want to prevent people from exercising their First Amendment rights. I have the right to criticize powerful people. I have the right to cite things that a corporation, by its own admission, publishes. I will not bow out just because some bully in the government thinks that he can silence me by sticking me in a cage. I would sooner die than kneel to tyranny.
So Andrew Auernheimer thinks of himself as a whistleblower. But I gotta say, after talking to him, I thought, yeah, okay, he's immature, he likes to mess with people, but that's not illegal, right? I put that question of intent to Alan Paller, the founder of SANS, a cybersecurity training school who works with the federal government.
It's important that we prosecute the hacktivists because they create a model for chaos on the internet and a model that says it's okay to commit crimes.
But surely AT&T should have been doing a better job in terms of protecting the privacy of its customers.
That's the key question. And the parallel to that is you're the treasurer for a church and somebody notices that your house door was left open and they come in and they steal the money for the church. And then they give it back to the pastor and they say, she did a bad job of protecting the money. That's not the way it should be done. The way it should be done is notice the door was unlocked and tell the pastor. And that's what these people aren't doing. They're after 15 minutes of fame. They're not after protecting the customers of AT&T.
You don't think he has a point when he says, if I don't look into it, if I don't say something, no one will?
It isn't AT&T that has these holes. It's every organization that has these holes. And they need to be fixed on a systemic basis by the vendors delivering safer systems rather than blaming places like AT&T because they didn't do something that's extremely hard to do.
Shouldn't more attention and resources be paid to stopping attacks by, let's say, you know, Chinese hackers and governments, other governments, as opposed to one 20-something dude?
No, you cannot find the sophisticated attacks if you're completely blinded by the noise of all of these gaming hackers. You actually have to get the little attacks down so you can have the fidelity in your watching to find the really sophisticated attacks.
The Computer Fraud and Abuse Act is now getting a closer look. Jordan Kovnat is a privacy fellow at the Fordham Center on Law and Information Policy.
The law that he was indicted under, the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, has come under increasing scrutiny and criticism amongst internet activists and legal scholars. The reason it's getting scrutiny is because it can be interpreted very broadly by prosecutors.
My mind was blown by this issue. If you want to listen to all these interviews, go to newtechcity.org and let us know where you stand on hacktivism. I'm Anoush Zomorodi, and this is New Tech City from WNYC.